Yeah, we tuned into Radio Dew Point. We're looking at a slight overcast to the eastern side. Traffic back up all the way to Gululis.
Sounds about right, though.
I'm Donny van Wyk, rank 9, nearly 10 years in the business.
I'm Petunia Mashangwane, and I'm a rank 9. I've been with Dew Point for 4 years.
If you talk about your childhood, I mean, I'm in 5 years' time, I'm going to be 60. So there's a lot of things I forgot, a lot of the things I've just blocked out. Call it denial, coping mechanism, whatever. I had a typical... And I say that out of respect to my parents, a lower level Afrikaans, lower middle class income. I was raised by my mom and my stepdad. I never knew my biological dad. I only found out who he was when I was in my 30s. My stepdad, or my dad, he raised me. He worked with a blue overall 7 days a week. He worked very, very hard. He drove a Valiant. We had a black and white television. When Dad was home, you try not to be home because he was always miserable because he worked himself tired. And he just worked. And for a very big part of my life, my dad wasn't there. My mom, I felt she didn't have any money. My dad didn't have matric. He was a boilermaker. My mom didn't have matric. I've got matric, but I don't think we should brag about my matric. I think what I should say is my matric made the top part of the class possible. I made the other kids look good. But my parents tried to give me better than they had. So was it dysfunctional? Was it complicated? I think while you were still growing up, you would think there were some challenges. As a parent today, I look back, and a lot of the things, I won't say I judged my parents for or blamed them for, but today they make a lot of sense. When I was younger than 30, I thought my dad was an idiot. I thought, you know, although I had respect of him, I didn't think he knew a lot. By the time I got to be 40, I had a deep respect for him, and I thought, now I understand what challenges you were faced with. And when I got 50, I wonder if I could ever be a man like he could be. And it's just, as you grow, he wasn't a businessman. He couldn't taught me anything about business. Channel building wasn't something, I mean, channel building in Afrikaans would be something like grave digging, you know. It didn't make any sense. So if I look at what I'm doing currently for a living, 40 years ago that didn't exist, and today is most probably a career choice which a lot of South Africans should consider. I'm thankful for my parents. I think it's very difficult to play a good hand if the only thing you have is bad cards. And a lot of the things they taught me is not stuff that I can use today to take care of my children. So I had to reinvent. And some of the challenges we're doing today is not something we were taught at school. It was something, I mean, Petunia, I remember our parents used to say, don't sit as close to the television. And eventually we taught our children, don't spend so much time on the computer. Or we used to tell the teenagers, my teenagers, don't spend that amount of time on your phone. Today we're making a living being on the phone. You should spend more time in front of a screen and a phone, because that's how you earn. That's different. There's nothing in my childhood that could prepare me for that. If I'm on my phone, I'm making money. If I'm not on my phone, I don't make money. And I'm not doing trading. It's just like I just constantly connecting and socializing, because that's how I built the business. So for me, I think I'm going to stop talking. There's a Zulu word for what I'm doing now, kulumakakulu. I talk too much. I was raised, you get matric, you go get a job. And I wasn't raised in an area where people said to you, what do you want to become? You had to take what you could find and you got to make it work. And that platform no longer functions today. Jobs, the whole middle class is disappearing. In South Africa, you're either very rich or you're very poor. And unless you find a way to employ yourself, there's no dreaming left. And I see a lot of matriculants being disillusioned. I think the record states 1 million matriculants wrote matric last year and there's no jobs. So unless you find a way to employ yourself, you might not have skills. Yeah, we try and skill our children to go to varsity, but that's no guarantee. It's not guaranteed that that's going to pay. What are you going to do month to month to generate an income? I remember when I was sequestrated, Junior, when my wife passed away, she ran as a huge bill, something like 9 million rand. And I was sequestrated. They took my car, they took my house, they took everything I owned. And suddenly all I had was a little three-year-old girl, and the reset button was pushed in my life. And I remember I did my CV and I sent it out. It's an auto. That's 10 years ago. It's still an auto. I don't get any jobs. I had to employ myself. I had to make 2 point work. And I think that's a situation which is challenging, you know, yourself. Because you can only learn so much from people, then you have to apply it yourself. But you have to overcome the obstacles within yourself, the limitations. I had no childhood reference that could prepare me for what I'm doing now. Most of my family today don't even understand what I'm doing for a living. Because I don't think having more money makes your problems go away. It does give you more options. One of the options I have is I don't have a boss. And I remember one time saying to my daughter, I cannot watch that game, but I want to take you to Mauritius again. Because you're not going to remember me not being at the game, but you're never going to forget Mauritius. And you know, taking your children there, I watched your daughter's face when she was sitting on the back of your husband and quad biking. I will never forget her face. I think if she didn't have little ears, she would smile all across, all around her face. And yeah, that's not what I was used to. I didn't know a life like that. And from your side, Petunia, your childhood, how was you raised? What do you remember and how do you use it today?
I can definitely listen to you the whole day, honestly speaking. I'm also learning a lot because you just mentioned things like, you know, our upbringing. You sometimes try to actually forget and try to block everything sometimes so that you can cope or survive, because that is most of us coping mechanism. For me, it was not nice at all, but it has influenced the way I do things now, because I think it's something that actually even motivated, because I always say everything that's happening in our life, it happens for a reason. Because with me, I'm the only child. I was born in 93, so my father died when I was 5 years. And when he died, and he was a very... not popular, but he was doing so well. And what I've learned from there is once your parents or a parent die, everything dies, including family, where they would sit around. Because with us in our community, if somebody dies, like, we will sit in a tent after the funeral, then we start discussing way forward, who's going to take the house, who's going to take care of the kids, things like that. They sat down. I remember very well, I was young, but I was looking. That's why I'm very much careful with my kids, because I was 5 years. I remember very well when I came back from school, even when they told me that your father died, and I actually even remember the day of the funeral. Everyone was like, no, we're going to step in. We're going to take care of you. We're going to actually help you. We're going to take care of you. You can't suffer because your dad was doing everything for everyone. That's the kind of a father I had. And he died after a couple of days. I was supposed to graduate in creche. preschool. And I told myself that one day, I know I'm a woman, one day I'm going to have kids, and I don't want them to actually have the same life that I had, because now everybody's gone. Same people who promised that, you know what, we're going to help you, we're going to do everything for you. Where are they today? I stand with a statement that says your upbringing definitely will influence the kind of person you become in life, in future, your finances, everything. It does influence that, because I was staying with my grandmother. She did not have any other grandkids except me, because I was the only child. My father was the only child. I was the only child. My mother had to work in Joburg when we stayed in Limpopo. And when I looked at that, I used to have that resentment and also a little bit of hate, because I did not understand, why is this woman not coming back more often? Why is this woman, she's not available for my school, anything. When I'm graduating, she's not here, this and that, she's not here. I did not understand back then, but now I definitely understand. In life, sometimes you have to figure out how to survive. You are forced to. It's not even like you don't have other options. Now, when I'm looking at my kids, I always tell myself that when I die, because I know I'm going to die one day, we're all going to die. I don't know if it's tomorrow. Yeah. I don't know if it's next year. I don't know when, or maybe after 50 years, I have no idea. But my worst fear is always leaving my child to live the same life that I lived. So I started looking at life in a different way when I was still young, because I always knew that it's shaping me to actually be a different person. So your upbringing, definitely it does influence, it does have a lot of impact when you grow up, because that's why they always say, don't forget where you're coming from. Now, when I started Jew Point, I always looked back. I remembered when we did not have TV, I have to go to my aunt's place to watch TV, the black and white one. You know that one we used to say is the pregnant TV, that one. So I always tell myself that I don't want my kids to actually have the same life. I don't want them to look at other kids and say, they have cell phones, we don't have cell phones. They have DSTV, we don't have DSTV. So the way I grew up, it definitely did influence the decision I am making right now, because I don't want to be an absent parent, because looking at my kids, I'm thinking, if I was not doing Jew Point, I was going to miss everything. Now I'm at home, I'm able to even help them with their homeworks. I'm able to bake for them. I'm able to do everything for them. I'm able to prepare anything. If they're saying we have a certain activity at school, I know that I'm available. They know that when they come back from school, mommy's at home. She cooked. We're going to have a warm meal. We're going to have everything that we want. Traveling the world, which is something when I was growing up, I remember my grandmother, she could not even afford to pay for my school trips. You know where they would say pay 50 rand and the kids are going to Gold Reef City. We could not afford that. Maybe if I had it, like if maybe my father did not die while I was still young, I wouldn't be the person I am today, because it's really up to an individual. How do you take it? Some people, they are on the street. They are doing things that I cannot even say right now, because they're like, I was struggling. You have to understand that my mother was not there to guide me. You have to understand that I cannot sleep on an empty stomach. I need to eat, things like that. Anything that can give them quick cash, they go for it, because people are not willing to work for whatever that can bring them money. They just want quick money. Yes. That's why even now, sometimes it's difficult. It's not easy to get people to actually join our business, because as soon as they hear you work, they're gone. Yeah. They just want to put money, fold arms, wake up being a millionaire. So definitely for me, I really agree with the statement that says your upbringing does influence the person you become in future. It's up to you if you're going to use it in a positive way or in a negative way. Yes. Because with us, I always hear your story when you tell me that how you grew up. And when they said, you're going to sit with Danny, then I knew that, somebody I resonate with. I know very well how it feels to actually sleep on an empty stomach. I know very well how it feels to not have anything at all. And I'm grateful because Jew Point has actually changed that for me. With traditional jobs, still, they're still putting us in the same position, because I was even diagnosed with depression while I was still working, because you are in an environment where they tell you you're not good enough. we can fire you anytime. Here you are, you are your own boss. Nobody's going to tell. If you feel like, oh, it's raining, I don't want to get out of bed, you can definitely sleep. No one's going to, Brandon is not going to call you and say, hey, Wena, why are you sleeping? So that's what I love the most about Dewpoint. And I'm grateful for whatever that has happened in my life, because I don't think I would have become the person I am today if I did not experience any of that. It definitely helped me to look at things differently, to appreciate what I have, the little that I'm making, whatever I am making, I appreciate, because I understand, I know very well how it feels to not have. And as a mother, looking at them, looking at the kids, looking at my husband, being able to even go out for dinner, it means a lot. We have never experienced that. I don't even remember the time where they actually bought a cake for me and celebrate my birthday. But now we can do it with our kids because of Dewpoint. Now we can travel. The first international trip, for me, it was in Zanzibar. I've never been international. And because of Dewpoint, and it's because I told myself that, coming from like way back where my granny could not even afford that 50 rand for me to go for a school trip. Now to this, traveling internationally, going with the kids. I just love the fact that the Dewpoint is family orientated, because they don't look at the person who's doing the business, the person who's working. They're actually saying, you're going with your family. So it is already rewriting my story. I'm learning a lot, and I'm coming from a family where I was raised by a lot of women. Women who were looking up to a man, where a man must do this, a man must work. Once that man dies, it's back to square one, back to nothing.
And it's such a reality. People don't realize spouses die.
What are they living for you?
And the problem is, if you rely totally, I mean, our parents are no longer there. My parents don't live anymore. I don't know if your parents are still living. There's nobody that I can phone or ask for an advice or that I can run to. And spouses die. And I think one should give your spouse the freedom to become something, to become self-supportive. You said something which, when I saw your children, it actually gave me a lot of very satisfied memories, because my children was not much older than yours when they started going with the Dewpoint family. I think allowing your children to travel internationally is a gift. I think all the hours, all the prospecting, all the no's of just showing your child there's a bigger place than South Africa. Because people get limited by South Africa and the problems socioeconomic South Africa have. But if you've been, I remember the first time I went to this place in Mauritius. Now, I've been to Mauritius before, but never with my children. Through Dewpoint, the first time with my children, there's no waves. There's no blue bottles. There's no crime. I left my two children with their phones on the beach. And I came back and there was towels on the deck chairs on the beach, and their little phones were on the towels, and they were playing in the water for 2 hours. Now, in South Africa, you would miss the phones, the children, and the deck chairs.
Gone.
And I saw my children safe, seeing a side of the world. And then this business just made sense. I will safely presume from both our backgrounds, as we were brought up, wealth is having stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we were made human beings, not human havings.
Yes.
People always say to me, Donnie, are you wealthy? I said, no, I'm financially independent. That's something totally different.
Different is.
What does financial independent means? You and I can walk out of this room just with our cell phones, and we'll eat next month.
Yes.
We can live anywhere. We don't know how much we're going to earn next month, but there's going to be money. And if you ever know how that felt, you would work this business flat out.
Well, that's true.
It's not about the number. It's the freedom. The freedom that you no longer get bullied, manipulated. Yes. You can work from anywhere. As long as there's reception, you can work. Doesn't matter which town you walk into, there's prospects. You can work as long as you've got strengths and you can work. And showing your children that there's a life that you can just securely build. You've got elderly people in your team. I've got Mama Gloria, she's 73.
Yeah.
And a granny does excellent in my team. One of my favorite people in my team is my late friend Mike Furie. Now, Mike Furie passed away 5 years ago. He passed away, but he still generates money for his family. Hmm. Now if a dead person can do Dew Point, and a Magog can do Dew Point, Petunia, what's stopping South Africans?
Exactly.
And like you said, you get a boss that's on your back, and you get the bizarre stuff. I mean, I once worked for a company where you had to use your thumb to get into the loo. And on Friday, on your sales stats, I kid you not.
Wow.
Your colon stats was sitting next to your sales. You can actually see whether there's a big problem coming or not. And it's so humiliating. And I wonder, what does bosses do to people? They exploit people. I understand. I think Brendan is correct when I say people don't want to work. Because hard work is not getting you anywhere. Because you don't have leverage there to become anything.
Yeah.
Now, what you guys did, you know, I would like to know, because you came, you're a bit younger in the business than me, but I didn't tell my boss that I was doing something on the side, because I knew that I would be one of the first to go. And when I got in the industry, I kept on doing until my income was sufficient, and I took him for lunch. And I said, I wanted to leave.
Yeah.
Leave is always a problem if you have a job.
You know, I think you should have said, I'm firing you.
I did. I said to him, he said, when do you want to go? And I said to him, I just did. And I never went back. And it was such a relief. A couple of years later, I went back to that company because I was prospecting some of the people there. And I remember when I was working there, I always had that feeling on my stomach, which I presumed was hunger while I was working there. And is this like this corporate politics type of dodging the bullets, mm-hmm. you know, looking over their shoulder? Because there's only so little success in a corporate environment. You know, if you've got a job, be thankful for it. But you don't have to bank in it all your life. If what you need to be happy is to be free, you know. When I see guys like you coming through the ranks and getting the freedom, inspires me to get back in the game and just like build it, because it's so worth it. Talking about poverty mindset is you feel like you don't make a difference. Doesn't matter how hard you work, even if you sell something to somebody, you don't make a difference. I needed to feel like I'm making a difference, that my life add value, that whatever I'm sharing to people is going to affect their life in the future. Now, I don't think this is for everybody, because a lot of people are comfortable not going into that zone, you know, but I wasn't comfortable with that. One of the things which bothered me is I wanted to have some family time. And then your boss says to you, you can't go this year because it's not your turn. And then the next year, it's your turn, but it's not your spouse's turn, so you don't go. And the third year, you didn't go anywhere because there was no money for whatever reason, the washing machine breaks. And you just realize, I'm just existing. I'm living from paycheck to paycheck. I think that's why they call it the paycheck. They pay you today, you check tomorrow, it's gone. You know? And there's nothing in it. I it's not the money, it's not making a difference. Seeing people getting their life back or dreaming again, or hoping, or see a little one looking forward to flying for the first time. I mean, Petunia, we ate pink bananas in Zanzibar. I mean, whether you like it or not, I know how pink bananas taste. You know, it wasn't on my bucket list, but I can talk about pink bananas in a conversation.
It really helped me and it motivated me when I saw a different life when we were in Zanzibar, because I looked at somebody who's poor, who has a poor mindset, someone who's actually programmed to wake up and go to work, get paid, money gone, radio frequency, bank balance. You know, it's sad because even with that kind of a life that we have right now, you can show people. But someone with poverty mindset, it's very much difficult to even help them to shift that, because I believe people now, they are programmed. They feel like, you know what, you have to go to school, go to varsity, have a certain qualification, have an office where you go into round with your chair, with a landline next to you. Same routine over and over again. And it is so sad because we keep showing these people that, you know what, this is the kind of life you can have. We're trying to change their mindset, that poverty, because salaries are stagnant. Problems are growing. We recently bought a house, and that house, I don't know how many times it went up. And we have people we are staying with, like our neighbors. Even if you show them that, you know what, here's an opportunity that can actually help you generate the money that you need in your household. But still, they wouldn't even feel motivated enough, because I feel like it's not easy to change somebody with a poverty mindset. You can't just change them. No matter how much luxury you show them, that's why they would even say, what are you doing for a living? You tell them, okay, fine, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing Jew Point. They'll say, are you sure you're not selling drugs? Because they're always thinking that there's something wrong that you should do in order for you to have more money. So changing someone's poverty mindset with the life that we are living right now, it's not even easy. That's why we don't have our families in this business. How many family members do you have in your channel?
Very little.
They just look at you and they're like, wow, this one, she's lucky. Yo, did you see her on TV? We are proud of you, because of the program. I remember in Jew Point, it was not even easy for somebody to sign 30 people back then. But now with everything that we have, it's motivating more people to change that, you know what, I've been hearing about this business and I think it can definitely give me that financial freedom we need. And I think setting goals, it's very much important, even for us. Now for me, it's very much important because I cannot survive a month without setting goals. You have to be realistic with your goals. You have to reflect back where you coming from. You have to be ready to change. For you to be in this business, you also need work ethic, because people think this is for every Tom, Dick and Harry. And it's definitely not like that. We need people who will sit down and say, I'm tired. For me, I've learned that it's like somebody who's struggling from an addiction. You know, you can get somebody who's smoking nyaope out there. And maybe you find them by the robot. You like, you know what, I'm taking you to rehab. What's going to happen? That person is going to fight you. They will even bite you. They will even throw stones. They won't. But as soon as somebody sit down and say, you know what, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to do this. They can do it. So same applies with changing people's mindset, the poverty mindset and all that thinking that waking up, going to work, getting leave, going to Limpopo ka December, it's a flex. They will only change once they are ready. That's why even when you put people in this business, you should not put somebody and feel like, wow, I found a star, no matter how excited they are. It's not easy to change somebody's mindset. What I believe you can do, just keep doing what you are doing. Keep being your bestie. Focus on yourself. And as Rob always say, it's okay to be selfish. Yes. Think about yourself, because we're coming from a very poor backgrounds. If we sit and try so hard to say, you know what, I want you to change and want something more for people who are not even willing to do anything, it's just going to drain you. That's why you must just become a better vision of yourself. Set realistic goals. Don't make wrong decisions like with me, who went under debt review. Imagine. So those are the things so that actually... Really?
Yeah, sequestrated happened there.
Wow. So we're trying to get out of that, and we're trying to show people that, you know what, don't do or don't make the same mistakes we did. But it's all up to any individual if they want to change that poverty mindset. But let's just keep doing it. Let's just keep sharing the good news. Let's just keep building what we are building. And some will, some won't. Then what? Who's next?
Yeah, and I agree. It is not easy having a life which most people don't understand. I thought maybe I was selfish by saying, I'm thankful for my job and working for an income that makes no difference, just existing and feeling empty. I thought maybe you're selfish. Maybe it's a psychiatric thing. It's almost like the world is very comfortable on being average. I think the most challenging thing for me was to think against the norm and not go with the dead fish. Just do what everybody does. It's almost like when I hit my 50s, I wanted to lose some weight. And immediately some of my, especially biker buddies, tried to talk me out of it. They said, no, you're perfectly fine for your age. They don't want you to lose weight because that puts pressure on them to have a look at themselves. Now, I don't want to be like Rambo or anything. I just want to live a little bit healthier.
Yeah.
But in the same way, I wanted to make my finances healthier. I wanted to leverage. I don't want to earn money just on my own effort. I mean, my boss comes to office. All he does is he arrives, you know, he delegates and then he disappears. You know, and we're doing the work and he gets the pay. I wanted to have some leverage. I was looking for friends that want to make some extra money. And that thought pattern to overcome that, and I realized that it's possible. If I keep on talking to people, I will find people like you. We are not everywhere, but we are there. You just have to keep on talking.
That's true.
That was my challenge.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why it's important to surround yourself with positive people.
You're almost fighting these voices in your head that say, I'm sure you had the same thing. And people say, this is tough. It's not as easy as I thought. Nobody wants this. But it's just lies. It's not true.
I spoke to everyone.
I spoke to everybody. Nobody's got money. You know, that's exactly why I wanted to speak to you, because you don't have money.
Yeah.
And that to me was the decision that I don't want to hear those negative things. I'm going to find people. I believe there are people, more people like us, feeling the same way, that is waiting for an opportunity. And they've been questioning life. What am I doing? Where am I going? The statistic shows that the majority of South Africans can't retire. I mean, we can take bets that people that we're going to talk today cannot retire. Yet, if you offer them an opportunity, they go like, I'm busy. And for me, the challenging was to stop talking like, yes, relax, take a break, do things that you want to do, but you have to get back to the team. Get in that habit of being self-employed, that I'm shaping my own life. I need to talk to somebody this week. I need to take control, to bounce back when somebody gave me a hard negative.
Yeah.
You know, not take it to heart, because I'm sure some people has put you down.
You even actually reminded me of this other friend of mine. You know, I know whenever I see a text, then I know that she's about to ask for money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always the case. And if we actually become good Samaritans and actually put other people's feelings first, they will definitely break you. You will never get anywhere in life. That's why it's very much important to even develop a budget and track your expenses, because you will never get out of that situation if you always thinking that, you know what, let me help this person. You're always feeling from an empty cup. So some people, they don't even understand. That's why I was even talking about this changing or shifting their poverty mindset, that no matter how much you can try and show them that, guys, what I'm doing does not even require qualifications. Your CV means nothing here. Your qualifications, even your matric, it means nothing.
Your culture, your background, your
exactly,
age, your gender,
exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Willingness to learn. Business, it's a skill. It's a skill. And if you want to develop that skill, as long as you're willing to learn, you can definitely do it. Have work ethic. You can definitely do it, because for me, it's a career choice now. I'm not doing this for fun.
Exactly.
So it's very much important to actually make sure that you develop the budget and everything as much as we are earning.
Yes.
It's very, or else we're going to go back where we're coming from, where you will end up living a lifestyle that you cannot even afford. Go back to debt review, because you're looking at the house, you're looking at the cars, you're looking at this and that, and you still cannot afford. So I'm grateful for this opportunity because I've also learned to actually be selfish, because this is something that it can be done by anyone who's willing to do.
I think a lot of people don't make an educated decision. They want to decide what it is before having a proper look, and that's very dangerous. The one thing I was praying for a solution, and when I saw the opportunity for what it was, I realized it isn't one of those multi-level More Than Marrier W Money crypto things. It's not that. Then I said to myself, you've been praying. What if it's this? Why do you keep on pushing? Perhaps the answer is staring you in the face. And I decided I'm going to do it. And I don't want to do, and I don't want to do anything else. I just want to do this more. And that day I knew. I knew that I'm going to do this, because it wasn't what I thought it was. I think people want a solution. I think Petunia would agree with it. They want a solution to come in a package which is acceptable to them.
Yeah.
They want wealth without working.
Mm-hmm.
Or success without working. You only find that in the dictionary. Success is before work in the dictionary, nowhere else. They want an instant solution.
I think it's comfort zone. People want to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. People want to be okay. Like, I'm okay. I'm doing okay. Okay. That is the problem, because people are programmed. For me, a child can come to you as a parent and say, you know what, I'm thinking I don't want to continue with school, but I have passion somewhere. I want to do something different. You will always force your child that, you know what, no, you must have a degree first before you can do this and that. It's because we are programmed that you should go to school, after school you get a job, and things. That's how people are. And without a permanent job, that is the problem. Permanent job, this name permanent job, it's a problem in our society, because people are thinking that as long as I have a permanent job, it means I'm gonna be okay. That's what I thought, even with me, when I got a permanent job in an NGO. Imagine, there is no pension fund. When you resign, that is your last salary. So I think that is the problem, where people thinking that as long as you have a permanent job, it means you are doing well in life. So that is the problem. People are looking for permanent jobs.
Yes.
They are not looking for, you can put bananas in front of a monkey and money. Monkey will choose the banana. It's going to leave that money, not knowing that that money, yes, will buy more bananas for me. Yes. So that's where we are. Permanent job and business. Instead of starting a business, you're like, no, I'm going to stick with a permanent job. Because even now, we get a lot of people saying, I'm quitting the business because I finally got a permanent job. Not knowing that you are being a monkey, choosing those two bananas instead of choosing 100 rand where you can buy a whole box.
Yes, yeah.
That is the problem.
Yeah. And the control, because if you're employed, you are the last person to hear that there's a problem.
Yes.
They're only going to tell you, just before I left the corporate company where they were retrenching, they told me as the office manager that they're going to start retrenching in a year, but then they did so in a couple of months. And the reason they did that is because they wanted people not to leave until they really become redundant, because you can't find a person for a month or two.
Yeah.
So they actually lied to the employees. If you work for yourself, even if it's going well or not, at least you know the true reality of your finances. And yeah, a lot of people don't want to deal with that reality. They want to stay in the dream, you know, and say, you know, not to wake from the dream. But the bad thing is if you wake from the dream, it's not a good thing. You mentioned something which is very powerful. Both you and I have been on the debt review. I've been sequestrated. One of the things that changed in my life as well, That if you try to live a lifestyle by impressing other people, you're signing your own doom.
That's true.
I bought my dad's Bucky from his estate. It's a sentimental car. It's my favorite car. It's not the biggest Bucky. The neighbors all have these big Buckies. We have to upsell from them, and my Bucky is much smaller. But it makes me think of my dad, but it's paid. Every time at a fuel station, I'm thankful for that Bucky. You have to come to a point in your life where you know what you want and also be satisfied with what you want. You shouldn't try and live a life to impress other people.
Yeah.
You must get wealthy enough that you're content with what you have. And And I think that's true wealth. If you don't have to compete with the neighbors, that you can just drive what you like, wear the clothes you're comfortable in, send your children to the school you want them to go.
Yeah.
And go on holidays.
Whenever you want.
Exactly. A good friend of mine, Rulof, once said, a successful man does not know the difference between playing and working.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that's why it's important to actually educate ourselves about money. We need more education about money. And I wish there was a subject in school where people were being taught wealth, because all we know is, I want to be rich. Mm. Next thing, I blow it. You get a million, you blow. You don't even, after buying a house, you even end up selling it because you want more money. Yeah. People are used to being rich. They're running after richness. And I wish there was a subject in school from primary where we were taught about wealth, how to build wealth, where can you build wealth? Yeah. That's another important thing, because people are thinking, no, as long as I'm working, I'm going to be wealthy. Mm. Highly impossible. You cannot build wealth from your salary. From 9 to 5, getting paid today, money gone tomorrow, radio frequency bank balance. So we really need education about money so that bank balance should end up looking like your contact number. Mm. Because people, they just want to be average. And that is the problem, because how long is that average going to maintain you? Because salaries are stagnant. When was the last time people got increases at work? Even a bonus, it's a problem, because now COVID, it's an excuse all the time. So it is so sad to see people, because that's why they even fail to set goals. They even fail to do anything like traveling. People can't even afford a mere a vacation to Sun City, just around the corner, because they just want to be okay. As long as I don't sleep on an empty stomach. As long as I paid my accounts. This month you pay this one. The following month you don't pay this one. You pay the other one, just so that you can be okay. They just want to be okay. And most of them, they don't know that okay, it's not okay, because they just average. They just surviving. As long as, like, it's so sad. You're getting paid today. The following week, you have to call somebody. I need a favor. Can you please send me 200 rand? Then I'm going to pay you on the 25. That's the kind of life people are comfortable living, without you asking for money. Like, they feel like there's something not normal. So that is the problem. Being average, it's not okay. Being okay, it's not okay. When somebody asks you, are you okay? I cannot even complain. I am doing great. That should be the response. Saying, Danny, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Then it means that there's a problem. So being average and being okay, it's not okay.
You know what POOR stands for? Passing over opportunities regularly.
It's not for me. I cannot do this. No, thank you. Maybe next time.
And people don't realize there's a big lie eating away at your life, that you're not going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to take forever to build a channel. It takes about a couple of months. 12 to 24 months if you put focus in it. A lot in your life can change in a year.
That's true.
Or 2 years. People tell themselves, I don't have money. The problem is, if you're going to just sit back and aim at nothing, that's exactly what you're going to get. And you have to be prepared for when nothing arrives, that you can deal with that. You and I said, we're from different provinces, from different towns, different cultures. But the one thing we've done is we started developing the same habits.
Yes.
And stop being average.
Yes, that's true. And also develop a growth mindset. Yes. Don't be stagnant in life. Yes. Don't just say, I'm okay. Because I was even thinking that as much as we have businesses right now, we always want to grow. If you don't want to grow in life, that's where you will be born, in a certain township. You will even die there. They will even bury you there. Is that okay? Same address for the rest of your life. You need to grow a growth mindset and also be able to set goals. If you set goals, you will work. You will try by all means to actually pursue everything, and also surrounding yourself with supportive people.
In fact, you've already achieved it. The people around you haven't noticed that you've achieved it.
That's true.
I think you just got a different job, but it's not. You became financially independent. You're just functioning like them, but within financial independence.
So
technically, you're not retired, but you've already built something in a year or two, which most people don't accomplish in a lifetime, but they want to measure it in houses and cars.
Yeah.
And because of the way they look at it without the education, they laugh at you and you look at them and you actually not pity them, but you feel like, I wish I can show you what this really is, you know?
Yeah.
Because once you've got it, it's very addictive. It's very, you will never go back to a normal job.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, Danny. And that's why you will find a lot of people saying, yeah, since Petunia has started doing this business or since Petunia started to, she has changed. So that's why people say, hey, yeah, your job has changed you. Yeah, your business has changed you, because they don't have that growth mindset. They are stagnant. They're expecting you that even when you are doing well, you should not have any development in your life. You should always be on the same level. You should always keep doing the same thing. But I'm just happy because on the level we are right now, where I am right now, I don't want to make the same mistakes that I did back there when I could live from hand to mouth. But now I've decided that, you know what, it's very much important to also practice self-care and self-love. And how do you practice that? By saying no. Don't say yes to everyone. It's okay to say no. It's okay to be selfish. Reflect back to everything that you have ever done in life, where we are coming from. Because for me, I refuse to give my kids the same life that I had. And I'm happy because I moved from one place to another. So it allowed me that position to actually fix everything that I have ever been through so that we give our kids better. And it really helped me to actually fix my finances and know that you cannot spend all the money that you get. You have to be vigilant. You have to make sure that you live the life you afford. Not according to, if I drive a Range Rover, everyone is going to think that I'm doing well in life. No. If I live in Stain City, everyone's going to think that I'm doing well in life. No, it's okay to live your own life, but make sure that you are not just comfortable, but you are growing in life. It's very much easy to convince somebody who has been in my shoes, where I have been, not now, 4 years back, because I joined DuPont 4 years back. And times were tough. It was very much difficult for me. And what has DuPont done for me? It's a lot. Because being under debt review, you know, where there is no financial institution that can actually help you or give you any relief. The kids are growing up, clothes are getting small, you cannot even afford. To that young mother who's actually stuck in a place where she's not happy, where she's questioning everyone's love and asking, is it genuine? Because money plays a very big role in our life. They will tell you that money is the root of all evil, but I believe not having money is the root of all evil. And for somebody who's out there, who's struggling financially, who will actually sit the whole night thinking and asking, when am I going to have time for my kids? When am I going to go to parents' meeting, which you would even miss first day, like when your child goes to school for the first day, you can't because you need to be at work. When your child is sick, they tell you, but when your child is always sick, as if you chose to have an asthmatic child so that you can be in hospital every single month. It's very much easy to even convince that person, because I have been there, that person, to actually tell her that, you know what, you can do better. And it shouldn't always be about somebody else. It's also about you. Your happiness also counts. Where you're coming from, it does not determine your future, because that is the problem where we're thinking, you know what, I'm coming from a poor family. It's okay for me to be poor. I'm coming from a family where I was raised by the street. It's okay to not be available. Have your kids in the next province. When are you working in the next province? You can't even be there for them. With DuPont, it has cancel everything. You know, when they say it has rewrote my story, my future, the future of my kids. And if somebody's looking for that opportunity to actually make things right, because our parents' mistakes, they have no impact actually on how you raise your kids. It's your journey now as an individual and as that kind of a person, I would advise anyone to join Dewpoint. I am my own boss right now. Right now, it's raining. I wake up whenever I want. I prepare my kids every single morning. When they come back, I'm there. They tell me how they had, how was school and everything. Everybody needs it. As much as people want something that already has a foundation, it's okay to start from scratch. It's okay to give up the permanent job, that kind of status, to actually be the person that can give you that peace. The mindset, the mental health, it's very much important, which is something that we don't look at because we're thinking, I want to see myself being a CEO. That's not important at all. Being your own boss, and I believe there's nothing like Dewpoint because I'm my own boss. Now we have a property with my husband. I'm very much comfortable. I did not know that it is so nice to have a house, which is something that I grew up from uncles, aunt. I've never even experienced that. Other kids would tell me, don't forget that this is my mother's house. Now my kids can say, this is my home. Mommy, I'm going to my room. And it feels so great because I would give myself a pat on the shoulder and say, well done, Gelly. You definitely did well. Dewpoint has rewrote your future. You're going to have a different thing. We traveling, we enjoying life. Even now we're planning a trip. I don't even have to apply for a leave. I don't have to lie that my granny somewhere died because I am my own boss. What happened to the debt review? Got my clearance letter. Everything is clear. I fixed everything with the government or the shops or whatever. I am financially comfortable and I'm not just comfortable, financially free and definitely enjoying the life that I never thought I would have. And definitely the kids are also, they have a brighter future. Changed school because of Dewpoint. If it wasn't for Dewpoint, for me to sit at home and be that kind of a housewife who's also bringing money at home, it is so amazing. It is so amazing and it really helped me a lot. My mental health, I'm even gaining a lot of weight now and it's okay because I am happy. Dewpoint has changed it has changed everything. I'm a living testimony because of this business. There's nothing like Dewpoint. If not Dewpoint, then what?
I couldn't help smiling when you said gaining weight. I think it's these international conferences because the food.
Yeah.
The first time I tried to eat everything, and I always come back a few kilos heavier. I think, Petunia, when I listen to you, something that resonates with me is when you say mental health, worry to me, depression to me is like worrying that is starting to worry you. I think depression, something that's very depressing is if you're not happy and you don't have the means to change that. Or you don't even have the hope that you can change that. I don't know who you and I are going to talk to tomorrow. And we don't know. It's like a lucky packet. You're going to talk to somebody that could propel your whole destiny in a different way. And you get that dream every single day. If I can go back in time and look at the Donnie that walked through those doors nearly 10 years ago, and I would tell him not to be as tough on himself. I would tell him, listen, Dan, your life is not falling apart, dude. It's falling in place. There were times when I came here without diesel and a car that was not reliable. And I remember the one night I invited a reverend and it was cold and this guy didn't pitch. And I was so disappointed. How can he not even know? I don't have diesel and he didn't come. And that night when I wanted to leave, my car didn't want to go in reverse. So I sat in my car and I held my cell phone against my head, talking to nobody because I didn't have airtime. And I was hoping that the people that was already in the team that was there this night go home and they think I'm on a call. Then me and security pushed the car out so I can just go forward. And I stood without diesel that night. And shamefully, I had to lie to my wife. When I got home, she said, so what did the reverend say? And I lied. I said to her, he's thinking about it. Because I couldn't see the disappointment in my wife's eyes for people not keeping their word, not making a difference. Until today, I've never heard about that guy ever again. But what I didn't know that day is that all these stories are going to become the memories or the experience that I need to say to a guy, you know what, DuPont is not quick. It's not free. It's not easy, but listen to me. It's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want it? Then take it. It's your gift. Take it. Make it your own and go live the life you wanted. Become free of other people's opinions, all the nuances, the politics, the bullying that we were used to in a corporate world. Listen, you get it everywhere, but yeah, you don't have to bribe with it. You know, you can just shrug it off and continue with the people. Surround yourself with like-minded individuals that preferably a little bit further down the road than you. But I think we're going to live longer because today I've got friends in my life which is closer to me than family. And they're good for my soul because they're positive and they add. And it's just a different environment than I was used to. And I would tell that, Donnie, listen, focus. Don't stop. Just work the business. Forget about everything. Just do what you're supposed to do. And just keep on.
No means next one when they reject
exactly.
us. We still continue.
Exactly.
The bank balance motivates us.
And I registered the guy last week that I've been working on 5 years. 5 years ago, he was a no. When I came here last week, he was waiting for me on the outside.
Wow.
So he wasn't a no.
He was not
just
now.
Not now.
Not now.
And if I stopped, then I wouldn't have had the experience to help him.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you, Petunia. May it be one of many to come.
Thank you so much, Danny. I really enjoyed this. And I've learned a lot from you. So
thank you kindly.
So much. I cannot wait for our vacation. Where are we going this December?
Well, we're going to find out.
I can't wait. Thank you so much.